We have so many ways in our society that we can offer something different and better than what we see every day. That's what Scripture's encouraging us to. Hi, welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you as we continue our series in James 1 from the Father. As we think about the gifts that God gives us, one of the things we're encouraged to is to think about the gifts that we give others. I saw this passed around the internet a while back. It's a sandwich board sign like we see in so many places. I don't know where this one was from. It'd been passed around a bunch, but it could be in downtown St. Charles for that matter. And it's familiar for its specials, but it struck a chord with people because it wasn't just showing specials. It was showing different prices, as you can see, for coffee based on how polite the customer was. And people shared this like crazy because we recognize that we live in a society that often is downright rude. We don't show courtesy and compassion and care for each other. And too often, the church doesn't either. But God encourages us. He calls us to be different. Courtesy matters. Care and compassion, they matter to our God. And so that's what he's encouraging us to tonight as we continue in James 1. Let's go ahead and pray that God would make us people who are not just courteous, but genuinely caring. And that as we do that, that in a world where a sign like that resonates because we're so used to people being rude, well, the people of the church would be different. Will you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And we do pray that as we look, that we would be people that without a sign like the one that we just looked at, that we'd already be getting the cheaper coffee, that we'd already be being recognized as being kind and courteous and compassionate because we just do it. And we do that because you've shown such care to us that we want to show it to other people. It's not to get the discount or to get favor with people, but it's because we have favor with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at verse 19, James 1:19. First part of the verse. James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak." If we're going to be those who are compassionate, those who are not just courteous in a superficial way, but genuinely different, we need to actually listen. That sign was encouraging us to be nicer in what we say, but really, when we're interacting with people beyond, say, ordering a coffee, we need to spend a lot more time listening. It's like the thing so many of us have remarked on over the years, because we all know it's true that when we ask a person, "How are you?" we're usually not expecting a long conversation. And we often show that by saying, "How are you?" And before the person can say much at all, we go on to what we really want to talk about. Because we're not really ready to hear, we're ready to say something. And James says, when you're interacting with people, show that you recognize that that person is made in the image of God. If you'd stop and listen when God was speaking to you, and I certainly hope that all of us would, if we heard God's voice booming, we wouldn't go along about our business as if nothing was happening at all. Well, if we do that, then as we look at the people God made, the people God loves, and the people that God wants us to show love to so that they know that he loves them, we should do the same. If we look at someone and say, "Here is someone who is actually reflecting something of our Heavenly Father, the Father who gives us all good gifts," then shouldn't we want to actually hear what the person has to say, genuinely hear what the person has to say? And when we pause and we listen instead of always just speaking, it allows us to show a wisdom that's beyond our own. Take a look at Proverbs 17. Verse 27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." If we don't speak, we listen, people start to think we're wiser. And as one commentator said in reflection on that proverb, that isn't just an appearance. It's not just the old joke about keeping silent so people don't understand how foolish we are. It's something more than that. Because a very important part of wisdom is recognizing that we should let other people speak, that we should listen to what other people have to say, that we should want to understand their perspective on things. How often is it that we don't really bother to really listen to what other people are saying because we already know what we think and we already know what our conclusion is? And so we feel like, well, I don't really even need this. This is extra information. I already know. But that's not how God wants us to be. And so as we listen, as we actually stop and we show that care to other people, we're allowing ourselves to demonstrate wisdom by that act and then grow in wisdom by learning what other people have to say. And as we listen to what other people have to say, well, it goes back to that thing I said about listening to God speak, because God usually doesn't speak by having a voice booming down from heaven as much as we'd like that. God speaks through other people. We run into someone and that person brings up something that we need to hear, that God wants us to hear. And are we going to hear it? Or are we going to be so busy with what we want to say and what we want to move on to next that we can't hear what that person has to say because we're just too busy? And if we would stop, if that booming voice came down from heaven, then if God speaks through other people, how much more should we want to stop in that moment and listen? Sometimes I think we assume we can kind of do both. Yeah, I'm kind of listening, but I'm already planning out what I want to say next. But in that, we're basically doing what we know doesn't work, say if we're in a video conference. We have our wonderful Tuesday night Bible study. I love it. And if you aren't in it yet, I hope that you would consider coming. It's at 7:15 every Tuesday night. And as we gather together and do that, it's video conference so everyone can speak. But usually, just to avoid any tech glitches, we'll try to keep all the mics muted of whomever isn't speaking at that moment so that there isn't a problem. But every once in a while, one of those mutes doesn't work quite right. Someone thinks that he or she's muted and hasn't, and might be talking to someone in the background, thinking that the audio is muted, but it's not. And all of a sudden, say someone else is reading a scripture or asking a question, it becomes very jumbled, and no one can really hear what's going on because it's cutting in and out, trying to figure out which audio to play and which not to. It doesn't happen a whole lot. But when it does, boy, do we recognize it, right? Because suddenly it's very, very hard to hear. And indeed, video conferencing software isn't as good at tuning in multiple audio sources or multiple thoughts as our own ears and mind are. Someone could be talking in the background when we're sitting in church, and we can be talking to someone else and it's not a problem. But it's only sort of not a problem. Because there are an awful lot of times someone's talking to me and I'm already thinking about the next thing, that other conversation's already playing in my head, or what I really wanted to talk about with this person rather than what they wanted to talk about, that's already playing in my head. And even though I am hearing, and it's not doing the cutting in and out of the computer, that digital cut in and out that is so distracting, it's still cutting in and out as far as my focus. And I'm not really focused on that other person. And if that person's bringing something that God wants me to hear, I'm not hearing it. And God says, stop and actually listen. Because as we do that with others, we're also gaining the opportunity to do that with God. And of course, that extends into prayer too. We should stop and listen when we're praying. Do we take time to just list out everything we want God to hear and then our minds move on to the next thing we want to think about? Or do we actually spend time trying to hear what God is doing, the ways he's working in our hearts? Maybe sometimes it's just praying and then spending a little time in scripture so that we can see what his words say. But God encourages us to take time to listen. And the beautiful thing about that Bible study is that the vast majority of the time, a few little tech glitches aside, that's exactly what it is, because everyone wants to hear from each other. And I love that about that group. And so again, if you're not in it, you should join it. That's not a widespread problem, but I think all of us know that, at least post-pandemic, we know those weaknesses of video conferencing. And it just brings to the fore the problem that we have going all the time in our own minds. It doesn't take video conferencing software to do it. In other words, what we need to do is control our thoughts, be self-controlled, and that self-control goes beyond that. It's a broader thing, and that's what James talks about at the end of verse 19 and following. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." First step is stop and listen. But that directly then feeds into being slow to anger. Because if we're not controlling our speech, if we're just pouring out whatever we're thinking in the moment, we can't really adjust. How often is it that we have a knee-jerk reaction to someone? We just want to fire off. And if we actually stop and listen to what that person's saying, we realize, oh, wait, I didn't understand the full situation. Or I didn't understand that person's heart. Even if something was wrong, I didn't understand the context of it. I didn't understand that person's own concerns. Or maybe even that person wanted to apologize because I'm just ready to jump and attack. And then we get into this vicious cycle because we go on an unrighteous attack and maybe they unrighteously attack us back and it just becomes a mess. And James says, control our tongues and control what's behind those tongues, because as we allow our minds to spin out of control, sometimes it's then going to be the words that come out of our mouths, sometimes it's going to be our actions. But as we let our minds go wild, we're moving further and further away frequently from that compassion and that care that God calls us to. Anger prevents us from being careful. And so while scripture does say, yes, there is righteous anger, and sometimes that righteous anger should exist in our lives, sometimes there's a reason to stand up. For example, perhaps the prime example in scripture, besides the turning over the tables with Jesus, would be Paul metaphorically turning over the tables with the Galatians when he goes off and he's firing away in Galatians 1 about how they've been corrupting the gospel. And he knows that they need to hear this and they need to hear it very frankly and directly. But notice that's the exception. And even in that exception, Paul comes back to wanting to restore them. It's not just flying off the handle, I want to make sure you know how bad you are. No, Paul wants them to know his heart. He wants them to know God's heart. And that's a good thing to challenge ourselves with. When we're growing angrier and angrier, are we thinking, I want to reflect God's love in this moment? Are we thinking, I'm hurt, I dislike what's going on, I want people to feel like I feel? But if we actually stop, like we started with, and listen to other people, and we're trying to actually understand how they feel, all kinds of things can start to happen. It's a beautiful transformation when we move from people who want to send our feelings out to other people, make sure they feel them, to taking time to feel what other people are feeling. And allowing that to then be one of the ways God moderates our own actions. It's so funny, though, how quickly things can grow out of control. I was reading about a man by the name of Jordan Hubbard. If you're not into the deeper parts of technological history, you probably have not heard of him. But needless to say, a few years after the incident I'm going to share, which was in 1987, a few years later, he contributed a very significant part to the history of the internet. He created an operating system known as FreeBSD that has run, and especially in the past, ran a ton of very crucial services around the internet. It helped make the internet what it is today. But before that, he was working at a university and trying to test out the systems to make sure they're all working properly. And he ran a diagnostic test without fully understanding the command that he was entering. And his thought process was he was going to send out a test to all the computers at his university to see if they responded properly. The problem is, in those early days, computers actually kept a catalog of where all the computers on the internet were. Couldn't even begin to do that today, but at the time they did that. And so when he fired off this command intending to just send a packet to these computers that were all in physical proximity to him, what he actually did is he sent the same information all around the world to every computer connected to the internet at the time. By the time it was done, he'd reached a bunch of other universities, but not just universities. He was hearing from the Pentagon because they were getting this packet. They thought they were under attack and trying to figure out what in the world was going on. And so this one little command that he issued and then walked away to let it do its thing, thinking it wasn't really doing any harm, was actually doing all kinds of things. He ended up having to respond to 743 different people contacting him to find out what he was up to and why he was doing it. And even today, while he's best known for FreeBSD, he still, if you go to his Wikipedia page, you'll find a whole paragraph, and a not terribly long article, whole paragraph on how he did this. And it's funny how it didn't seem like a big deal at the time. And when we're interacting with people and we just allow our anger to fly off, a lot of times we hit that command and we just send it out and we think it's not going to be any big deal. It doesn't really do anything. It's going to go to that person and they might be a little upset for a moment and I'll feel a little better and I walk away and it's over with. We don't think of the implications. We live in a world that's used to people flying off the handle and being angry, but people are watching us as Christians and trying to see, are we doing anything different? And while we're getting bombarded by people sending stuff out, a lot of times we encounter anger from people that we don't even know, especially in this internet age, but sometimes it's just at your work. Someone walks in and is angry. You never met this person before, and you didn't even have direct influence over the problem, but they're just flying off the handle. Sometimes that's us. And Scripture's saying, let's break that cycle. Because a lot of times when we send out that anger command, we think it's just affecting one person. And sometimes it is, but that person's someone who needs to know God's love. But sometimes it goes much broader too, and we direct the anger at one person, but the other people watching say, well, if that's how Christians are, if that's how they love one another, maybe I don't want anything to do with this Christ. What commands are we sending out? James is encouraging us to stop, to listen, and then to have self-control so that we don't send out that command that becomes our legacy, that isn't what we really want it to be. Because what is it that we really want to leave people with? They're reflecting on our lives. We want them to think, here's someone who loved Jesus. Here's someone who talked about how Jesus loves people. But boy, was that love was clearly present. That person was polite. And it wasn't just a superficial politeness. This person, he or she, really seemed to care about me. Because here's the thing we know. Jesus really cares about you. And he really cares about me. And if that's true, then may we be people who show that to others. If we want to be righteous, and I think all of us would say, yeah, I'd like to be righteous. And this is a great place to start. Slow to speak. Slow to share. What things do we share? Sometimes today, it isn't like it would have been in James's time where we have to do the writing or the speaking. How often is it that we kind of get an intermediary because we share stuff online? We just hit share and we don't think, is this true? Is it loving? We just think, it affirms how I feel at this moment. And it affirms my overall sense of the world. So I don't care if it is false. I don't care if it hurts somebody because it's saying something untrue about that person. I care about how it affirms how I feel. But I think that's a challenge for us as we're in a very political season here. We're just about a month away from the election in the United States. It's a great time to put into practice what James is encouraging us here. Because if you notice, this is a really simple instruction. But it's so hard to do. And we've all gotten caught in just feeling angry about how our world's functioning at the moment, and we hit share on something. It's not actually drawing people to Jesus. So slow to speak, slow to share, slow to act, slow to type, even slow to think. Let's stop and hear other people first before we think. And if we do that, as we pause, well, we're going to hear other people. And that's a good thing because God loves other people. He loves us and he loves other people. But as we pause, God also speaks in those pauses. So we get to hear from God. And that could be better than that. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we do pray that you would be with us and you would help us to be people who are slow to speak, slow to type, slow to share, slow to even play the conversations that we want to have or think we should have, or the things that are most interesting to us in our heads, that we would actually stop and pause and listen. That as we do, you'd make us people also slower to be angry, slower to jump to conclusions, slower to want to be on the attack, slower to want to share and bring pain to other people more anxious to be those who help heal pain in other people. For Lord, you are the one who heals us, and we pray that you would make us agents of your healing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe this is a little ironic after I said slow to share. Please don't be slow to share when it comes to sharing the truth of God's word and us exploring it together. I would love if you'd share this video, and hopefully as you've been joining me and listening and thinking together with me, it's not being quick to share, it's actually being slow to share. And so please do share this, give it a like, subscribe to our social media, and as you do, God is using us together to study his word, to be more like him, and then as we're more like him, to help other people know more about him and his faithfulness as well. As we do that, we have all kinds of opportunities throughout the year to invite people to things. Sometimes it's just to a service. Sometimes it's to Steadfast. But we also have some special events. And one of those is coming up, Faithtoberfest. It's on October 18th at 6:30 p.m. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have some great barbecue. We're going to have some great music from local musicians and just have a fun time, have some games. It'll just be a festive time celebrating God's faithfulness and sharing that with our world. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. And again, I realize we just talked about being slow to share. Here's something I hope you'll think about and then actually choose to share, because all that stuff that we should be slow to share on, that all the anger and angst in the world, what if we instead share about a God who loves this world and loves the people that we're around? That would be a much better thing to share. And I hope that you will. Will you invite someone or some people? Think of some people that maybe don't always end up at church or kind of gotten away from it, that would consider coming to a music festival and barbecue, and invite them. And then go on Facebook and mark yourself down, if you haven't already, on our Facebook event for it. Share faithtoberfest.org to people that you're not going to see for a bit. Send them an email or a text and say, hey, why don't you come join me at this? And if it's online and also in person. Obviously, the barbecue is only in person, but the rest is going to be online. So if you can't join us in person, of course, as always, join us online and share with other people anywhere in the nation, anywhere in the world. Hey, come and join me at this event. I think it's going to be a wonderful time, and I can't wait to share it with you. Less than 2 weeks away, so it's coming up really quickly, and it'll be great. In the meantime, if there's any way I can encourage you, any way I can pray for you, you can, of course, leave something in the comments below, and we can talk together as a group or in the information for praying, that texting line, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. It's great to hear from you on that line. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again very soon.